Parshas Vayishlach. At the end of Parshas Vayetze, we have learned how Yaakov returned from Laban's house with his whole family and all of his belongings and came to Eretz Yisrael. Now that Yaakov returned from Laban's house to Eretz Yisrael, he sent Malachim, angels, to go to his brother Esav, who lived in another place, not in Eretz Yisrael. Esav lived in the land of Seir. He sent the Malachim to Esav to tell Esav that he was back and wished to live in peace with him. Yaakov told the Malachim exactly how to speak to Esav. Yaakov said, "First of all, speak to Esav respectfully. Call him my master. And make it very clear to him. Tell him in my name, I have lived with Laban, the master of all magicians and swindlers, but I overcame him. Meaning that I will therefore surely overcome you, Esav. And even though I lived in Laban's house for 20 years, I fulfilled all 613 mitzvahs, meaning that you surely have no hope to win over me, and that I have not left Laban's house until now, until Yosef's birth, since Yosef has the power to win over you. Say to Esav, you hate me because of the brachas which you think I stole from you. Our father benched me that I should be given mital hashamayim umishmane haaretz, from the dew of the heaven and the fatness of the earth, but I have received neither. All I have is oxen, donkeys, sheep, menservants, and maidservants, which are neither from the heavens nor from the earth. Why, therefore, do you hate me?" Yaakov instructed the Malachim, "Explain clearly to Esav that if he seeks peace, I'm ready for peace. But should he want war, I'm prepared for that too. My camp is strong, and we pray to Hashem who fulfills our requests." The Malachim left, but later returned with very sad news. They said to Yaakov, "You acted as a brother towards Esav. But do you think he behaved like a brother? He is still the old wicked Esav. And not only that, he is coming out to meet you with 400 men who are all generals of war." Yes, Kindalach. Even though Esav's anger calmed down when Yaakov was gone, but when Yaakov's messengers came before him, the anger was rekindled. When Yaakov heard that Esav was coming out to fight and make a war against him, Yaakov got very worried. Our Chachamim say that he got so worried that his body became as soft as wax. He was not only frightened of the thought of being killed, but just as frightened that he might have to kill someone during the war. True, Hashem had promised to guard him, but Yaakov knew that if any one of his family had sinned, Hashem will not come to help them. Also, Yaakov thought that Hashem might make Esav win because he had a very special schus. Esav honored his father Yitzchak during all those years when Yaakov was staying in Laban's house. And he also had the schus of living in Eretz Yisrael in the Holy Land while Yaakov was living in Haran. Now, Kindalach, Yaakov prepared to meet with Esav. He prepared three different things. Number one, tefillah. Number two, sending a gift to Esav. Number 3, getting ready for a possible war. The first thing was tefillah, prayer. Yaakov turned to Hashem, saying, I know that your promise to help me only depends on my deserving it. I don't really deserve all the truth and kindness that you have given me. The first time when I crossed the Yarden River, when I was running away from Esav, going to Lavan, I was all alone. But now, 20 years later, you have given me a family which is as big as 2 camps. And let this be a sign for all the future generations that you will save the Yidden in the same way from the hands of those who want to harm them. You have commanded in your Torah that the mother animal may not be shechted together with its young. And now this wicked man is coming to kill mothers and children together. Who then will remain to fulfill the commandments of the Holy Torah that you will give at Har Sinai? Now, Kindalach, not only did Yaakov himself daven, but he also instructed each of his sons to join him in davening. Yaakov's tefillah was immediately answered by Hashem. Hashem sent a group of malachim, dressed up like soldiers, to strike out at Esav's troops and to harm them. The second thing, Kindalach, was the gifts that Yaakov prepared to give to Esav. Yaakov put together an expensive gift to calm down Esav. Gold, silver, and jewels. He also collected 1/10 of his animals to give to his brother. Yes, Kindalach, Yaakov did not give the 1/10 of his belongings to Hashem when he was supposed to, therefore he had to give them now to Esav instead. As Yaakov got together his animals, the healthy ones fled, and only those with some blemish remained to be given to Esav. Yaakov commanded his men, and he said to them, Space out the groups of these animals, showing Esav only 1 group of animals at a time. After seeing the first group, Esav would think that that's the whole gift. Then he'll be surprised by another and yet another group. In this way, the present would look large and impress Esav even more. Yaakov commanded his servants, who are in charge of leading each of these groups of animals, when you meet Esav and he asks you, Whose is this? You should say, It is a present from Yaakov to my master Esav, and your servant Yaakov is following behind. And then, Kindalach, came the third thing, getting ready for war. Yaakov wisely clothed his entire family in white clothes. Yaakov ordered everyone to hide a sword under his coat. Yaakov divided the whole family into 2 groups, saying, If Esav will hit 1 camp, at least the other will escape. Yaakov begged from Hashem, Let this be a sign for the future, whenever the children of Esav will harm Yidden in one place, let the other one escape. Before meeting with Esav, Yaakov hid away his daughter Dinah in a chest. Yaakov said, This Russia might set his eyes on her and take her from me. But Kindalach, Hashem said to Yaakov, You didn't want to be kind enough towards your brother Esav and give him Dinah as a wife? Dinah was such a great tzaddikus that she might have inspired Esav to do teshuva. Well, since you don't want to give her to Esav, I swear to you that she will be taken by a man who's not even from your family. that is Kindalach, the man Shechem, as we shall see later. Yaakov and his family crossed the river Yabok, and then Yaakov returned alone to see if he had forgotten anything. Yes, Kindalach, a tzaddik values the smallest of his belongings and would not let it go to waste, because each of his belongings he got honestly. On the other side of the river, Yaakov met a man who seemed to be a shepherd. Like Yaakov, he had many herds, groups of sheep and camels. The man suggested to Yaakov,
"Let me help you carry your belongings across, and then you'll help me with mine."
In a flash of an instant, the stranger carried all of Yaakov's baggage over the river. Then Yaakov had to help him. Yaakov shipped the man's camels across, but when he came back, he found still more. He crossed the shepherd's remaining sheep, but upon his return, again he found new herds. Yaakov was going back and forth throughout the night, and it was never ending. Finally, Yaakov said,
"You must be a magician to be able to perform this kind of trick."
Yaakov took a piece of material with which to stuff the other's throat.
"Magician!" Yaakov called out to him. "Watch out!"
But that man was not a magician. He was really a malach sent by Hashem. The malach said,
"I will show him with whom he is dealing."
The malach stuck his finger into the earth, and a volcano of flames shot out from the earth. Yaakov still was not afraid. Yaakov said,
"Do you think that this frightens me? I am all fire. The house of Yaakov is called a fire."
What did Yaakov mean with these words? Yaakov meant,
"My children and I are a resting place for the Shekhinah, which is fire, since we study the Torah, which its laws are like fire."
The Malach, Kindalach, who was really the Tsar, the protecting angel of Esav, and the whole land of Esav, which is called Edom, this Tsar then attacked Yaakov and tried to destroy him. Yaakov fought back, and the fight went on. Yaakov and the Malach wrestled all night long, and the dust which the fight whirled up reached the Kisei HaKavod itself. But the Malach was not able to win over Yaakov. Yes, Kindalach, Yaakov's night-long fight was also a lesson, a sign for his children in the future generations. The long galus is compared to the night. The Goyim tried to harm the Jewish people and tried to talk the Jewish people into leaving alone the Torah and joining the Goyim Chas V'Shalim, promising the Yidden greatness and honor. But just as the Malach was not able to overpower Yaakov, so will the nations not be able to uproot the Yidden from their Creator. Yes, Kindalach, as much as the Malach tried to harm Yaakov, he was not able to. The only thing the Malach was able to do was to dislocate Yaakov's thigh. That is, he hurt Yaakov at a certain place on Yaakov's upper leg, on the place which is called the Yerech, the thigh. As morning came, the fight between Yaakov and Esav's Tsar ended. Yaakov was the winner. That's right, Kindalach. The same thing is for the Yidden. Now when will the Yidden be freed of all the Geisha nations who bother them, who try to harm them? It's when the morning will come. That is the time of Mashiach, the Geula, through Mashiach Tzidkenu. When it came the morning, the Malach asked Yaakov, "Let me leave, for morning has come."
"Who are you?" Yaakov asked him. "Why are you afraid of the morning? Why do you have to leave? Are you a thief?"
"No, I am a Malach, and this morning my turn has come to sing a song to Hashem for the very first time."
"Let the other Malachim sing instead of you, and you'll sing for them tomorrow."
"This is not allowed. If you don't let me go now that I should be able to sing now, I will have missed my turn forever."
Yaakov then asked the Malach, "What have I done wrong that you are allowed to hurt me?"
"Well, you know that a Talmud Chacham who goes out at night is not supposed to go all alone. Why didn't you learn from your grandfather Avraham, who brought along his servants on his trip to Haha Maria, so that he should never be himself all alone? Furthermore, on your way to Lavan, you promised to Hashem that you're going to give away a tenth of all of your earnings, and you sinned by not doing it right away. You still did not give away the tenth of your earnings to Hashem. You also did wrong by tricking your father, Yitzchak, and taking away the brachas."
"That is not so. The bracha is mine by right, because I bought the firstborn right from Esav. I'm not going to let you leave from me until you bench me, and you should admit to me that I'm the right owner of my father's brachas."
"I cannot do that."
"Why can't you bench me? Just like the Malachim who came to visit Avraham, they benched him. They only left after they told Avraham the news that he will have a son."
"Well, they were sent for that purpose. But I may not do something for which I wasn't sent for. By doing so, I would be punished. I'll be sent away from my position in the Shamayim, just as it happened to the Malachim when they came to Lot. You know what happened? They said to Lot, 'We are destroying the city of Sodom.' And they should have said that Hashem is destroying it. And because they said the wrong words, they were sent away from Hashem's throne for 138 years. Do you wish to see me sent away from Hashem's throne also?"
"I'm still not going to let you go until you bench me."
"Well, what is your name?"
"Yaakov."
"Well, then you should know that your main name shall no longer be Yaakov. The word Yaakov also means tricking. But now your name should be Yisrael, which means you have fought against Malachim. That is, I, Esav's Malach, and you have fought against people, Lavan and Esav, and you have won over them. And you are now worthy of your father's blessing."
"Yes, Kindalach, here finally the Malach admitted that the brachas that Yaakov got from Yitzchak really belonged to Yaakov." Yaakov then asked the Malach, "What is your name?"
"Why do you ask me for my name? Malachim have no name that stay with them forever. Their names change according to the kind of work that they're doing at that moment."
Morning has come, and the Malach began to sing Shira, a song to Hashem, from the earth, even before he returned to the Shamayim. The Malach raised his voice, praising Hashem. The Malachim in the Shemayim heard it, and they all said together, "It is in the honor of the Tzaddik Yaakov that this Malach is allowed to sing a song to Hashem while he's on earth, while the voice of this Malach reaches the heavens." As a remembrance of the fight between Yaakov and the Malach, in which Yaakov's thigh was moved out of place, the Torah tells us
that we are not allowed to eat the gid hanosha, that is, the part of the animal's leg where there is the veins of the thigh. The mitzvah of not eating the gid hanosha was observed by Yaakov's sons. Now, Kindelach, Yaakov is crippled. He can't even walk straight because he got hurt from the malach. But then Hashem helped Yaakov. Hashem cured him and healed him in a very special way. That is, Hashem made the sun come out extra early that morning, and Hashem then made the light of the sun much stronger, bringing out for Yaakov that special blazing light, the light which was called the Kitov light, which Hashem had created on the very first day of creation. And then later Hashem hid it away from the world to save it for the tzaddikim when Mashiach comes. Hashem now shone these special light rays upon Yaakov's leg to cure him from his limping. And Kindelach, when Mashiach will come, Hashem will use the same light of the Kitov light to heal all of those who are blind or who are limping or have any sicknesses. Hashem is going to cure them and heal them. And now, Kindelach, Yaakov is back with his family. Yaakov is now getting ready for the meeting with Esav. Yaakov divided up his camp into four groups. First, Bilhah and Zilpah, and then Rachel and Leah. Bilhah with her children, Dan and Naphtali, were to march first, and then Zilpah with her children, Gad and Asher. Then Leah and her family, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zevulun. And finally, last, Rachel and Yosef. Yes, Yaakov loved Rachel and Yosef more than all the others, and therefore wanted they should be last, they should be most protected. Yaakov himself marched in front of all the four groups, saying, "If Esav will strike, let him strike me first." Esav was walking towards Yaakov, and Yaakov and his whole family are now moving and marching towards Esav. Then suddenly, Yaakov saw Esav. Yaakov ran towards him and bowed down seven times, of course not to Esav, but to Hashem. Esav's heart was full of anger. Esav wanted to kill Yaakov. Esav thought, "Instead of shooting Yaakov with my bow, I shall let him come close. Then I'll bite him and suck out the blood out of his body." They met and hugged and kissed each other. What? Esav kissed Yaakov? Was that for real? Well, our Chachamim tell us that Esav never would kiss Yaakov. Esav hates Yaakov and will always hate Yaakov. There are Chachamim that say that it was only at that moment that Esav had Rachmanis and he kissed him with his whole heart. But there are other Chachamim that say that even at that moment, Esav really hated Yaakov. In fact, Esav wanted to kill him then. Esav sank his teeth into Yaakov's neck to bite him. But Yaakov's neck was miraculously turned into solid, hard marble. Esav's teeth cracked. Both cried. Yaakov because his neck hurt him from the bite, and Esav from his broken teeth. Yes, Kindelach, this is also a sign for the future, that just like Esav tried to kill Yaakov and it didn't work, so would Hashem protect his children from all the goyim And all those who want to harm the Yidden, Hashem will always protect the Yidden. When Esav noticed Yaakov's family, all the servants and the cattle, Esav asked him,
Yaakov, I thought you only cared about Olam Haba, only about Ruchnia, spiritual things. How did you manage to get so much wealth in this world?
Hashem gave me all of this because I need them in this world in order to use it for serving Hashem. That's right, Kindalach. A Yid needs to have gashmias, material things. We need a house, and we need clothing, and we need food, and a lot of other good things. Not just because we enjoy them by themselves, but in order to use them, that we should be able to learn more Torah and do more mitzvahs comfortably. And by that, we're taking all of our gashmias, all of these things, and using them for mitzvahs. As the Alter Rebbe says, Hashem gives the Yidden a lot of gashmias, and the Yidden take the gashmias and turn it into ruchnias. That is, we use it for Torah and mitzvahs. Now, Kindalach, Yaakov's wives and children came closer to Esav to bow. Esav looked at them. Esav did not notice Rachel among them. Where was Rachel? Well, Kindalach, Yosef stood in front of Rachel. He placed his full height in front of his mother to block her from Esav. Yosef thought, who knows what that Russia Esav has in mind? I will not let him look at my mother. It's neither good for my mother to look at the face of this Russia. Yes, Kindalach, at that time Rachel was pregnant with Binyamin. And therefore, Yosef did not want his mother to have to see the face of such a Russia. Esav asked Yaakov,
who was the camp that I met before?
Didn't they tell you? They were my men.
Tell me? They beat me instead. One group of soldiers after another came towards me. Some of them were riding on horses, some dressed up in army clothes. They asked me, who are you? And I answered, Esav. And when they heard this, they began to beat me, and I screamed, leave me alone, I'm Avraham's grandson. They ignored me, and they continued to whip me. I'm Yitzchak's son, I called out. But they still paid no attention and kept on beating me up. And then when I said, I'm Yaakov's brother, and he now came back after 20 years, and I want to go meet him, as soon as I said, your name, Yaakov, they stopped beating me. They said, oh, you are the brother of our friend Yaakov. We'll let you go. But then a second and third group of soldiers marched towards me to whip me. And they only let me go when I mentioned your name. Oh, did I get a beating from them?
Yaakov understood that these were malachim that Hashem sent from the Shemayim to frighten Esav. Yes, Kindalach, as you remember, Yaakov davened to Hashem, and Hashem immediately answered his tefillah. This is the way Hashem answered him, and Hashem sent armies of angels to frighten Esav. Esav asked Yaakov,
whose were all those animals coming towards me?
They were a gift for you.
I have plenty. Keep whatever is yours.
With these words, Kindalach, keep whatever is yours, Esav also admitted that Yaakov could rightfully keep the brachas that he got from Yitzchak. Yaakov insisted that Esav should take the gift. Please accept my gift. I consider my meeting with you as great as my meeting with your angel whom I won over. Why did Yaakov say these words to Esav? In order to keep Esav in a good mood, in order he should not fight. That's why he said nice words to Esav.
Also, Yaakov hoped that when he mentions that he met Esav's Malach, Esav's angel, and he won over the Malach, Esav would then be frightened to start up with Yaakov. Esav said to Yaakov,
"Well, let us travel further together."
"No," answered Yaakov. "I travel with little children and herds of young animals. I have to be gentle with them, and we move very, very slowly. It's better that you travel in front of me to your land, Seir, and I will arrive there at some time later." But Kindalach, Yaakov never traveled to Seir to meet Esav, but instead he remained in Eretz Yisrael in the town of Sukkos. But Kindalach, this was no lie that Yaakov said that he will come to Esav. With this he hinted to Esav that they would meet on Har Seir at some future time, in the time of Mashiach, when Esav will be judged there for all the wrong things that Esav did. Esav said to Yaakov,
"Do you want any helpers to help you travel on? I can give you my men."
"No thanks. It's not necessary to do me this favor. Let me find favor in your eyes, and do not try to repay me for the gift I sent you." Well, Kindalach, after the meeting with Yaakov, Esav returned to the land of Seir alone, not even with his 400 generals. What happened to them? Well, Kindalach, they had forsaken Esav one by one, because as soon as they had come face to face with Yaakov and saw Yaakov's greatness, they were frightened, and they all left Esav. Yes, Kindalach, it was truly a miracle from Hashem that Esav returned home to Seir without having harmed Yaakov. Now, Kindalach, even though Yaakov and Esav did not have a war, and Esav returned back to his land without hurting Yaakov, but Esav still had a hatred burning in his heart. And many years later, Esav and his families and his armies came to make a war against Yaakov. This happened in the year in which Leah passed away, and Yaakov sat mourning for her. Then Esav decided to attack Yaakov once more. Esav gathered a tremendous army, 4,000 men dressed up in army clothes with helmets, shields, and spears. Now at that time, Yaakov lived in a city which was surrounded by high towering walls. Esav's armies surrounded the city in which Yaakov and 200 servants were gathered. Yaakov did not know that the army was coming. At that time, all of Yaakov's sons were in the city. They have come to their father to comfort him about Leah's passing away. Suddenly, they noticed arrows flying over the city walls, and they discovered Esav's army surrounding them. Yaakov climbed up to the top of the wall and arose, speaking friendly words to his brother Esav in order to calm him down. But Esav did not care to listen. Yehuda said to his father, "Why are you wasting your time trying to calm him with speech about peace and friendship? He came here as an enemy to kill us." Yaakov then took his bow and arrow, aimed it at Esav's men, and he killed one of Esav's generals, Adoram the Edomi. Then Yaakov aimed at Esav, and he wounded him in his right side, so that Esav's sons had to carry him away. But still, Esav's army prepared to conquer the city. Yaakov's sons got together to fight back. They divided themselves up to the four different sides of the city: Yehuda, Naphtali, Gad, and 50 servants stood at the wall in the south. Levi, Dan, Asher, and 50 servants stood in the east. Reuven, Yisachar, and Zebulun, and 50 servants stood in the north. And Shimon, Binyamin, and Hanoch, the son of Reuven, in the west. Yosef at that time had already been sold to Mitzrayim, so Yosef was not there to join. Then Yehuda stepped out and went over to the armies of Esav. And suddenly he found himself surrounded by a hail of enemy missiles and arrows. Yehuda killed 6 of the enemy soldiers. Naphtali and Gad stood at his right and left to protect him from the murderous attacks. Each of them killed 2 men, and each of their servants killed 1 enemy soldier. But still they were not able to drive Asaph's army away from the south of the city. Yehuda and his brothers again threw themselves into the battle with Yehuda in the front, killing people right and left, while Naphtali and Gad followed him. All of Yaakov's sons on all sides of the town were fighting bravely, but the attackers, the enemies, remained strong in their positions and kept on fighting back. Yaakov's sons began to get tired from the war. They raised their eyes to Hashem and davened that Hashem should save them. Hashem accepted their tefillah. A mighty windstorm, whirling up dense clouds of sand, began to blow. Esav's men were unable to see and had to fight blindly. And now Yaakov's son won over them very easily. They killed hundreds of men, and those who were not killed escaped and ran away to Har Seir. Among them was Esav himself, sick and wounded. On the next day, Yaakov's son surrounded Har Seir, and Esav's army came out, bowed themselves down in front of them, and gave in to the sons of Yaakov, begging for peace. Yaakov's sons also made peace with them, and then Esav's men became their slaves. And now, Kindalach, the Torah is going to tell us the next part of the Parsha about the story of Dinah and Shechem. Yaakov and his family moved to the city of Shechem. When they came there, the governor of the town, whose name was Shechem, the son of Hamor, went and brought girls who sang and played drums to perform in front of Yaakov's tents. While her father and brothers were learning in the Beis HaMedrash, Dinah slipped out of the tent to watch the girls. When Shechem saw Dinah, he kidnapped her and took her by force. Then he started to talk to her with convincing words that she should stay in his house.
"Your father had to spend so much money just to buy one piece of land in this city of Shechem. I am the ruler of this town. If you stay with me, I shall give you the whole city with all its fields and vineyards."
As soon as Yaakov heard what had happened, that Dinah was taken away, he sent 2 servants to get back Dinah from Shechem's house. But Shechem and his men chased them away. Now Shechem realized that he made a big mistake by forcing Dinah to come to his house. He should have spoken to Yaakov and asked permission first. So Shechem asked his father, Hamor, to speak to Yaakov and ask Yaakov for permission that Dinah should be given to him as a wife. Hamor came to Yaakov, and he said,
"My son Shechem wants very much to marry your daughter Dinah. I beg you to let Dinah get married to my son Shechem. We will pay you any price you want. And let both of our families marry each other. You'll marry our daughters, and we'll marry yours."
When Yaakov's sons came home and heard what had been done to Dinah, They were very, very angry. And they all said, "Such a sin of kidnapping? This is a sin even according to the laws of the Bnei Noach of the Goyishan nations." Then Shimon and Levi spoke up and they said, "Rather than people should say that a Jewish girl was kidnapped, let people say that idol worshippers were killed because they took Yaakov's daughter, a Jewish girl." Yes, Kindalach, Shimon and Levi had in mind to kill all the people of Shechem for this terrible sin. Shimon and Levi therefore answered Shechem's father, Hamor, in a very smart way. Shimon and Levi are now going to do a trick in order to be able to kill out all the people of Shechem for the terrible sin. Shimon and Levi said, "You should know that we give our daughters to get married only to people who had a bris. If you want to have our daughters as a wife, then you must have a bris. If every man and boy in this city will have a bris, then we will agree to give our daughters to you to get married, and to take your daughters and to become one people. But if you don't make a bris to yourselves, then we'll take our daughter Dina and leave." Shimon and Levi were doing the right thing, because Shechem himself deserved to be killed for kidnapping Dina. That's one of the seven laws of the Bnei Noach. And all the townspeople were also wrong for not bringing him to court. They should have brought Shechem to court and punished him for what he has done. And since they didn't do that, they also have sinned by not making justice. That is also one of the seven laws of Noach. And since they didn't do one of their laws, they also deserve to be put to death. Shechem and Hamor were listening to what Shimon and Levi suggested, and they agreed that they should all make a bris. They returned to the people of Shechem, and they announced that all the people of Shechem should make a bris. The people of Shechem agreed, and more than 600 men and over 200 children of Shechem made a bris.